All right, if you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to take them and we're going to start off. Remember, we did a first lesson back in June, kind of before the All Church Canvas, and now we're going to finish it up and then kind of do a challenge. But I wanted to, before we got into finishing, remember we were looking at the booklet here, and we started talking about how to present the gospel and going through some of the different theological things that we should know. Well, before getting into that, I thought it would be good to turn to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, and kind of mention a few things as we begin. All right, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And it just kind of as a way of introduction, in the last month, all right, a quick raise of hands. In the last month, how many have gone door knocking? All right, you've gone door knocking. I think there's going to be a bunch of us. All right, so now, how many in the last month, when we've gone door knocking, and I think this we're gonna all know, you at the door saw someone saved? Or not too many. In fact, no one. Okay? And so you say, man, it just doesn't work. But how many, as we've gone out in the last month, how many you have seen someone come out to church from door knocking? All right, if you look around, there's a lot of people that had someone come out. All right, and that's one of the reasons we're door knocking. We're trying to present the gospel, but we're also trying to get them to come to church. A couple weeks ago, if you remember, two Sunday mornings back-to-back, I preached Sunday morning, and both of the messages were on the family. Nothing really about salvation. I mean, there's a little bit, but it was basically geared to the family. The one Sunday night, a kid came to be baptized. I think Anthony was with him. Anthony Wright. He came back, and so I started talking to him. I said, all right, when did you get saved? And he said, well, this Sunday morning. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, all right, I know I preached on the essential ingredients of child rearing, and I can't remember if salvation was one of those, but I don't think so. So I'm thinking, okay, I don't think he knows. And so I said, all right, I want you to tell me why you thought you needed to get saved. And Anthony was sitting there, and I was shocked at his answers. And so was he. Afterwards, I mean, he knew the gospel. He knew he needed to get saved. He knew he was a sinner. And a lot of it, his mom and somebody else had been telling him, you know what, that's what sin is. And so all along, somebody had been prepping him. You know, the Bible says that, you know, some plant the seed and some water. And so here was somebody that came to church, and it was the first time, I think, that he came to church that Sunday, and he walked out Sunday morning and got saved. And what we've got to remember is that's part of our job of going out knocking on doors. We're trying to get the message of the gospel to them. But if not, we're trying to get them to church. We're trying to get them to come out to church. Why? Because at church, they will hear the gospel. It may not be that Sunday, but as I was preparing some of this and looking at it, and I was thinking about this verse even, all right, the verse in Romans chapter 5, it talks about God dying for us, and we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And what we've got to understand is one of the dearest things to God's heart is someone getting saved. It's one of the dearest things to God's heart. In fact, I was reading a story about John Rice, and John Rice said he was traveling around, and once And he had the Sword of the Lord. Remember, he started the Sword of the Lord magazine and the newspaper. And one time, or a few times, he had written articles about soul winning, and a lady wrote to him and said, "Brother Rice, I believe soul winning is all right and good, but I think the dearest thing to God is to honor Jesus Christ." So John R. Rice said, I wrote the woman back, and he said, "I will tell you how God honors Jesus. He let him be born in a stable. He let him grow up in poverty. He let him be slandered and abused, and as if he were an illegitimate child. Then at long last, when he was grown and had nowhere to lay his head, and so had to sleep outside and go hungry, God let Jesus be betrayed by Judas and let the disciples leave him. A traitor's kiss was placed on his cheek in Gethsemane. Then he was taken and tried and beaten and scourged and carried to the place called Calvary and nailed there and mocked for 6 hours while he died, and God turned his face away from him, all to save me." He said, "I think God cares about sinners. And I believe that we can honestly and truly say that Jesus Christ," in fact, when you read the Bible, you'll see that Jesus Christ came. The Bible says Jesus said it. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in fact, when Joseph was worried, remember, he was troubled and he said, "I couldn't sleep." And he was crying out to God. And he was wondering what to do because here they weren't married, and Mary now was going to have a child. And he was fretting about it. And what did the angel come and tell Joseph? He said, "When the child is born, thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." So we need to think of Jesus as a Savior. That's what he is primarily. Jesus didn't necessarily come to have a better educated world. That's not why he came. Jesus didn't come to create world peace, because that's what some people say. Jesus came to save sinners. And so the job that has been handed down to us is something that is very dear to the heart of God, and that is soul winning. And so we don't want to take it lightly. So then when we were finishing up last time, we had the lesson. When we were finishing up, we said that there was starting, and you should pray, you should prepare, and you should go. And then we started into, what do we teach? All right, what do we need to know when we go out and we're sharing the gospel? And there was a couple of things. We talked about sin, that we must present sin when we're trying to lead someone to the Lord. If they will not admit sin, then they will never get saved. That's what we have to understand. And that is part of the salvation plan. Right, Jesus Christ came, we even said it, he came to save sinners. So if they have never sinned, guess what? I guess Jesus didn't die for you. But yet he did, because we know that all have sinned. So they have to come to a place of sinning, all right, and understanding that they're a sinner. Then the next thing is they have to understand that there is suffering. All right? And by that, it means that there has to be some type of punishment for sin. There has to be a punishment for sin. And as we're talking to people about the Lord, as we're trying to present the gospel to them, as we're, and let's say that it might be over a number of times. Most of the time, it's not going to be right at the door. It might be that in a nursing home, you've developed a relationship over a number of months, and now you're able to sit down and present the gospel. We have to present sin, and then they have to understand that there has to be a payment. All right, and we can't do it. We can't take that payment. A lot of people think that they can go and they can do penance or they can do something. There's a lot of religions that say, you know what, you can work a lot. Well, the Bible clearly states that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what the Bible states so clearly. And they have to understand that their good deeds are like filthy rags to God. They're not any good. And we have to get them to a place where they understand there has to be a payment for that sin. And in our society, that's getting harder and harder to do. It is. It's getting harder and harder to do because most people don't think that people should be punished for doing wrong. In fact, it's almost opposite. If somebody does good, they need punished. And if somebody does evil, they're lifted up. And so we're coming to an age where they have to understand there's a payment for sin. So we show them what God says. All right, if let's say that they don't like what you're saying. My suggestion to you then, and remember we were talking about getting some things to slide into your Bible and mark your Bible. You're getting things set so that, let's say, they don't like the idea of paying a payment for sin. And you're kind of stuck. Well, what do? You must go back to the Bible. You get them to the Word of God, and you let the Word of God do the work. I was listening to a message this afternoon. I think it was, I can't remember, it was either Harry Ironside or one of those guys. I was listening to a message, and they were talking about going out and knocking on doors. And they went to a lady's door, and she was a Lutheran, and he started proceeding about sin and about the payment, and she got really mad and said, I don't like that. And he said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but the Bible says that there has to be payment for sin, and we can't do it, and Jesus Christ did that. And she said, well, I'm not listening anymore. And he said, well, ma'am, if you stay the way you are, you're going to end up in an eternal hell. And let me leave this with you. And he left a track, and he left a phone number, and he left. And the preacher said that he was going away, and he thought, you know what, that's done. 5 hours later, the lady called. And when he was in the house, and he had put an X, or kind of motioned an X by the couch, and he said, if you come to the point that you agree with this, you need to get down by this X and trust Jesus. Well, 5 hours later, he had been praying and he thought it was done. 5 hours later, this lady called and said, hey, I got down by the X and I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, why? Because he didn't change the gospel. And we can't change the gospel because somebody doesn't like it. That's what everybody is trying to do today. They want to change the gospel so that, you know what, maybe more will get saved. No, they won't. Actually, less will get saved, and you will have more people that are going to hell that think they're saved. Because the gospel doesn't change. The gospel's the same, and that is that we're all sinners, and there must be a payment for that sin. Why? Because we know the verse. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And that's an eternal death. It's separation from God. So we have to tell them about the suffering. We have to tell them about sin. And then we have to deal with self-righteousness. All right? Somehow, there's a lot of people, and this is our society today, they think that other people have sinned, and they may even say a little bit that they might have done a little bit of sin, but it's not so bad that I deserve hell. And so then we must deal with that self-righteousness. Most people think that they're good, or I've done good deeds. I think most of us have knocked on doors enough and talked to people enough that they will say, you know what, but I'm not as bad as this guy. All right, or, you know what, I've done a lot of good, though. I think it was Todd. I think it was Todd Wright. Remember Bob Hope when he worked over at Sand Creek? And he came up to Bob Hope and was going to hand him a track. And Bob Hope said, I don't need that. If I don't get to heaven with as much good as I have done, then nobody will. Well, I can tell you this. It doesn't matter how much good he did. All right, if he didn't accept Christ, He's in hell. He's in hell. Why? Because it doesn't matter what we think. We again have to go back to the Bible. And the Bible clearly states that our good deeds are not going to get us to heaven. So we've got to guide the person along. All right? So we guide them along. We say, you know what? We've seen that we are not righteous, that sin will take us to hell. So we need to become righteous to get to heaven. All right? And I think we can lead them along in that way. So what makes us righteous? How can we become righteous? And we take them again to the Bible. Okay? They may have all kinds of answers, and they may have all kinds of ideas, but again, we take them to the Bible, and we show them that by Christ dying for us, he became the propitiation. Remember? I was thinking about that. I was talking to my wife as far as people that say, man, I'm just not sure about going out and leading someone to the Lord. You know what your best bet is to do? Be faithful to church. Because on Sunday night, you heard about the death, about the blood and the body of Jesus Christ being spilt for us. That helps you in understanding salvation. All right, last Thursday, we heard about the imminent return of Jesus Christ and how that should motivate us to go and win souls. All right, that's important to talk to people because even when you're talking to folks, most people have heard something about the end of the world, and you can use that to bring them to make a decision. And then a couple of Sunday nights ago, Pastor Vogelin dealt with the whole word propitiation, just that word. So just sitting in church, if I don't know a lot and I say, man, you know, I don't know a lot of the doctrine and the theology, I can be faithful to church. And guess what? As I'm coming to church, then all of a sudden that big word propitiation breaks down for me. And then I understand that, yeah, that's what it means. It means that Jesus' blood has covered me. Remember when he was talking about the Ark of the Covenant? And the blood being put upon the Ark of the Covenant, and it appeased God's wrath. So that's what we're talking about when we say that I can be righteous. How can I be righteous? Because God's wrath was appeased by Jesus' death. And the Bible talks about justification. All right, remember that word? And we've always heard, just as if I've never sinned. But in essence, the word justification means that Jesus took my sins, okay, and then I get his righteousness. I get his righteousness. All right, and so we have to understand when we're dealing with salvation, we're dealing with sin. We're dealing with that payment, that suffering that has to come. All right? We're dealing with that self-righteousness and that all have sinned and that we have to be righteous in order to get to heaven. And then there's a substitution. And the substitution is that Jesus Christ paid our penalty. All right? He paid our penalty. So as we're looking at this as far as presenting the gospel, it may take a couple of times as we're going to their house. We've said this over and over, in today's society, in America, there's a lot of people that don't even know what the Bible is. And so you're not going to go in there and slam dunk them, one and done, and hey, while we're at it, give me your name. I got to report this. I'm going for the record. That's not what we're out there for. Okay, what we're trying to do is take the time to lead them to the Lord and bring them to a place where they will make a decision. All right, now, we have said this over and over that you're not supposed to be a salesman. We're not out there as a salesman for Jesus, but a salesman would be a horrible salesman if he doesn't get them to do what? To try to purchase it. And you know what? Sometimes I think in our soul winning, we're so bashful and so scared that God has prepared this person. And then we're going through it, but we're all timid about it. And then we almost just whisper and like, anybody, would you like to pray? I didn't think so. Yeah, well, I can come back. Yeah, you don't want to pray. Oh, no, no, you didn't. Oh, yeah, I didn't think so. And that's kind of how we approach it. We almost kind of whisper, and then, yeah, we answer for them. You know what? We need to, if God has prepared their heart, then let God finish the work. It's not us that's saving them anyways. So let's bring them to Christ then. All right, finish it completely. And so what does that mean? If God has prepared them, and then they, and you'll know when they understand about sin. You'll see it in them. It's registering in their eyes. Well, then let's make them pray. Let's make them admit it. Say, would you, you know, I've explained all this. I've explained about Christ. I've explained what he did. Would you like to pray? And there's a lot of different thoughts about praying with the sinner. Okay? There's some people that say, pray after me, which, you know, I like and don't like. I understand that. But if you think in our society, when you're dealing with somebody, praying sometimes is very hard for an unsaved person. If they've grown up and they really haven't, you've been working with them and they don't really know the Bible, praying with them is sometimes hard. So I know when I've dealt with some people, especially with kids, sometimes I'll say, you know what, I'm going to pray before you, and I'm going to pray and ask God to help you. And in my prayer, I almost help them in their prayer. As in, here's Joey. Joey, I'm going to pray. And so I say, Lord, Joey came today. I'm so happy that Joey came. And Lord, you saw God's been working on him during the message. And he just right now has admitted that he's a sinner, and he wants to ask you into his heart. Lord, he's going to pray in just a minute. And Lord, I'm going to pray with him. Please save him. Now, I'm not saving him, but then I'm trying to help Joey, especially with younger children. I tried when I was down in junior church. I had second grade junior church. I took a long time and tried to be very careful. That's a young person. I don't want them to be tricked. And if they didn't know, you know what? No. You know, I don't think you understand, Joey. Maybe next week. Maybe we can talk to your bus captain. We're not trying to trick them. We want God to do that work, but we want to bring them into the fold. If God has been working on their heart, let's bring them into the fold. And so that means helping them, finishing that. And so we finish that up. And then once a person has prayed and they want to receive Christ and they've done that, we don't just stop there. And that's when we say, all right, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time when you're dealing with somebody, because we don't just say, oh, you're saved. Amen. And you run out the door. No, guess what? Now, if the Bible is correct, they're a brother or sister in Christ. There's a close relationship with you now. Even a closer relationship now. Because now, in God's family, you're relatives. So what should we do? We need to bring them along. After we see them get saved, then I want to try to get them out to church. Then I want to try to follow up with discipleship. I also want to make sure that they understand that they are always saved. The assurance of salvation is very important. Because the devil, the Bible talks about this. Remember the parable of the sower? And in the parable of the sower, they're sowing the seed. And remember, the devil comes. It was in the story, birds come, and as the seed is falling, the birds come and grab the seed and fly away. And Jesus, when he was interpreting the parable, said that is like the devil, who comes when you're sowing the seed, and when it lands, he tries to come and sweep that seed right away. Why? So it will not take root, the Bible says. And you know what? The devil does not want a Christian to get roots into that good soil. And that's part of our job. Part of our job is to help them grow, help them understand assurance. Because if, all right, think about this as far as assurance of salvation. If you don't have confidence in something all your life, are you going to be any good in it? No. We're not going to be any good. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to falter. And so we need to make sure that they're grounded, and assurance comes from the Word of God. Right? Assurance comes as you build your faith. And the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 10, I believe in verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to get them into the Word of God. And one of the best places for that is to get in church and to be faithful in attendance to church. And as they hear the Word of God, guess what's going to happen? That seed will take root. And pretty soon, they're growing. They're maturing as a Christian. That's part of our job. And so, as we think about soul winning, I'm going to close it out then. In the next few minutes, we'll probably be done a little bit early. But I want to close it out with a challenge then to us as we go out soul winning. Okay? If we're going out soul winning, and the way it's looking next Thursday, it's beautiful weather. All right? Right now, 0% chance of rain. Okay? But I have three ideas as we close, kind of as to help you, okay, to make a decision then. One, as far as soul winning, I need to have courage. It's not easy. All right? If somebody, now maybe there is somebody, all right? But I've read probably hundreds and hundreds of pages on soul winning. I've listened to probably hundreds of sermons on soul winning. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it's easy. In fact, yesterday I was listening to a message, and the guy, and he was a very good pastor, and he said, every time I get up to the door, I get nervous. Because you know what? You don't know what's on the other side of the door. You really don't. All right, as I think Matt was talking about it in his testimony, it'd be nice if they had, you know, a little sign out there, you know. You know, the good, the bad, or the ugly, one of the two. I couldn't remember. There was some sign like that. That then we'd know. But it's not gonna happen that way. All right, sometimes it's going to be somebody mean. Sometimes it's going to be somebody that was looking. I shared this with the men a couple of Saturday nights ago. All right, I was knocking on doors on Saturday. And normally, all right, we catch a few people home. All right. In fact, Megan Brader last week, I think it was, man, she got screamed at, yelled at, all right, chased at. But then I was a couple weeks ago knocking on a door, and there was a manager of a restaurant in Maryville, and he came out. We just got talking. And so I said, well, you know what? I don't want to take a lot of your time. I said, but you need to come out to church. That's what you, because he said, I just moved here. He moved here in the last 6 months and been in the area. He said, I just haven't had time. I said, well, you know, church is very important. You need to be out at church. He said, you know, it's interesting that you say that. All right, now, he hasn't been here yet, so I got to just get back there. And, you know, it was a good thing to get me away, I guess. But he said, you know, I told my wife, you know, I'm going to wait till someone knocks on my door. Because I know somebody will. God will send somebody. Well, I said, look at that. God sent me. I said, so it must be that you're supposed to be at our church. All right, now he hasn't come yet. But he doesn't know our church because we'll be back. And we'll be back. And we'll be back. But there are people, it's not always going to be negative. It's not always going to be positive. And sometimes it's going to be a lot of people not home. But I've got to have the courage, and I have to set aside the time to do it. I have to have courage to step out and witness, and it's not always easy. Now, this is what I would recommend to somebody that says, but you know what? I don't know a lot. Well, guess what? That's the beauty of being here at our church. Because you find somebody that knows more than you. Now, one thing, okay, if you're Tom, you'll never find anybody. You know what I'm saying? You'll never find anybody that knows more than you. All right, never. So it's hard. You know, Tom, it's just hard being you. All right? Because, you know, you're just so high and lifted up. But you know, us that are lowly, we just have to realize it's a humbling thing to realize that you don't know everything. So find somebody else that maybe can talk a little bit. Okay? That maybe they've studied the scriptures a little more. And you team up with them, and it's encouraging to go. It gives you courage. I believe that's one of the reasons why you go 2x2. Because it gives you courage. Because if I was going by myself, all right, you know, you can say whatever, but man, there would be there'd be a lot of things that could come up that might be more important. And it's not necessarily that they're more important, it's just that by yourself you don't have a lot of courage. So 2x2, we're going out and we have courage. The second thing is that I need to pray and ask God to give me compassion. All right, I was reading an illustration about a lady, and she was a member of a church, and she had been going to soul winning classes and learning it and studying her Bible. And she had gone out soul winning, and she came to her pastor one time, and she said, you know what, I just don't understand it. I have gone out, and I have been faithful, going out and witnessing, and I haven't seen anybody saved. And he stopped her, and he said, well, have you shed any tears? And she just hung her head. I'm not saying that, you know, we've got to sit and be blubbering. But you know what? The souls around you, does that ever burden you? When you're maybe driving somewhere and you look, all right, I was with the camp at Great America, and there's just seas of people everywhere. Just, you know, having their good time, doing whatever. And now, I was sitting in the van, and I was studying a little bit. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, wow, all these people. All right, thousands of them there, just on that day. And more than likely, guess what? Not many people know the Lord. And what we have to do is ask God then to burden our heart. You know, it's our theme for the fall. Where there is no vision, guess what? The people perish. And if you don't have compassion, all right, if it's not weighing on, and that means in your bus route, nursing home, and your Sunday school, and your junior church, if it doesn't weigh on you. All right, I was at a house, I was with Mr. Reinhardt today. I was at a house today, and I told the man, I said, I'm praying for you, and I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping to pray for you. And that's what's, and I said, until you say, get off my porch, leave me alone, I will be here praying for you. So we have to do. It's got to be on our hearts. It's got to be burdening us that here's a soul and they're going to spend eternity somewhere. All right, and then, not just that, but then let's say it's a dad. All right, let's say it's a mom, and they have children. Well, they're going to affect a lot of other people, too. You just want them to go to hell? All right, we need to have compassion for those around us. Then the third thing, we need to have commitment. So we have courage, we have compassion, and we have commitment. And what do we mean by commitment? Almost anything will stop you from going soul winning. Man, it just seems like anything can come and make you, just wasn't able to get to it. No, have a commitment. You know, if you put it down and you don't let anything knock you out of the way of doing it, you are committed to sharing the gospel. And that means also being sensitive. See, if we have compassion and we're committed and we have courage, you know what will happen? A lot of soul winning is the Holy Spirit kind of touching your heart and tugging you a little bit. And you would say, oh, you know what? I know on the bus route, it can be, you know, I'm driving down and it may be an area that I'm supposed to canvass. Pray about it. Where does God want you to canvass? It could be in a nursing home. Hey, you know, but I've already talked to that person so many times. Well, if God says go again, do it. Go again. You know, it could be writing a letter to somebody. If God puts it on your heart and weighs it on your heart, don't throw it aside. Be committed to sharing the gospel with others. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Just a short challenge, and we ended kind of early. But I ask you, we'll have a time of invitation here now. And if God dealt with you in the area of soul winning, then you make a decision. You ask God to give you that courage or give you that compassion or give you that commitment. Because God wants us to be soul winners. There are people that need to be saved, and we've got to reach them. We can get depressed about the world. We can get all up in the air. But you know what? Let's just go and win folks to God. Win them to the Lord. Show them a Savior, and He'll change them. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness.